Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you again for joining me. My name is John Hennedy, and I'm with ICFUS Network. Today, my message is regarding the deceitfulness and the falsehood of the culture that surrounds us, and the church is of no greater a target than some of the falsehood that have been perpetrated by preachers. I want to begin reading with John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 18, verses 33, and I'll quit reading whenever I quit reading. I don't remember what verse it is, but Pilate entered again into his praetorium, and he summoned Jesus, and he said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own account, or has it been initiated by others to tell you about me?" And Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew. Am I? For your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. So what have you done?" Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to you. As it is, my kingdom is not of this world." Just a small comment on that verse. When he says my servants would fight, I believe he means there is the angels. Because the disciples, as you know, were not very trustworthy and faithful as the persecution of Jesus got really bad. And finally, the crucifixion, most of them disappeared. So I think it really means his the angels, because there's another place in the scripture that says that he would summon and his father would send 10,000 angels to free him. Verse 37, "Therefore Pilate said, 'So you are a king.' Well, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Now, I want to tell you that there's a, in the last 5 years in our country, there has been a extremely strong garrison against truth. They say there's no such thing as absolute, and they challenge everything that they know. Anything that we come up with as a church, they don't believe the Bible is true. They don't believe in God even. And so we are at the ridicule of the surrounding camps of evil. Now, I want to tell you that even though you may not be a Christian and you may have your questions about the absolutes of truth, I'll give you just two examples because my broadcast will run long if I go on, but there are two examples of truth. No matter where you are in this world, the gravity is true. You cannot escape gravity without special equipment and so forth, but just standing on the ground, you throw a rock in the air, it's going to come back down. Now, that's a truism. That's absolutely the case. The other thing that I look at, which is absolutely true, no doubt, is where the Atlantic Ocean meets the Pacific Ocean, or vice versa. And at the southern tip of South America, where the two oceans actually meet, it's a very wild place of crashing seas. But interestingly enough, if you Google this or Facebook it or YouTube it, and look for the two seas coming, two oceans coming together, you will see that they don't come together. They are different in color, and there's an obvious wall that they do not cross. Now, water is water, so it should seek a level, but at this point, it does not. It rears up against the other one without any barrier between them, and they do not come together. And there's some reason before that. There's salinity, and there's temperature, and there's a density, and so forth. But that is the truth. They do not come together. So water that runs and does not always meet its level. That's why they had to have the locks for boats to go from the Ocean One to Ocean Two. But nonetheless, I think it's a fascinating story to look up and see how the two oceans stand next to each other without involving the other one. That's just something I thought was very interesting. But the fact about the absolute truth, I have found that there are three different kinds of truth in the American mind. There is, first of all, there is positional truth, and which is a lie, but it's considered a truth. I want to tell you what I think one of the largest lies in our country is from the get-go in 1913, the Federal Reserve was established. And Woodrow Wilson signed it into law. By the way, he was bribed to do that. Congress looked at it and passed it because of filibustering and because of a lot of work on the Hill. They were convinced that we needed a Federal Reserve. A Federal Reserve, they said, would keep the money supply level. You wouldn't have spikes in it. Before that, we were all based on the market. Whatever the market called for, you might get a better price out of something than others. And if the market did not please with what you had, you may not get a very good price at all. And that was a fluctuation in our currency. But so the Federal Reserve was under the auspices that it would keep it as a keel. Now, just remember this, for those of you who have a greater interest in that, you can look it up, but there is a book written by an author that writes Creature from Jekyll Island. It's a story of the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is not even part of our government. You may not know that. It never has been part of our government. It is owned by the banking cartel of Europe. And it works against us. It has been alive from the beginning, and it is causing more problems. In fact, in 1913, its creation, just another 10 years later, 13 years later, we were involved in the Great Depression. So I guess the Federal Reserve didn't work. How'd that sound for you? Nonetheless, there is that going on. It's still going on. It's messing up our economy. It's artificially messing up the economy. The whole world's in a mess right now because of the central banks trying to control everything. And I won't get into it any further. If you have that interest, you can read the creatures from Jekyll Island. That's where these big guys went down there south of Florida and met secretly in this island, and then came back and proposed to the government, and finally Woodrow Wilson signed it into law. But as one big joke, it has always been a lie that it would control the fluctuation in spending. It has not. It's fabricated, and it has always been. And since it's not part of our country, even though we gave it the name Federal Reserve, because people might think, oh, federal, well, it's government. Well, okay, we'll deal with that. But that's a lie. It never is no more federal than the federal the shipping company. What's that called? Federal Express. Thank you. Or no more federal than you can ever get. You can name anything federal, but it is not part of our government. Never has been, and never will be part of our government. It's an entity of its own. It has power of its own, and not much our government can do about it. And it just runs our country. It dictates what the printing mint would do. The Bureau of Engraving and Imprinting, our mint, it tells it what to do, and it does it. And it's just one big mess. I won't get into any further than that, but if you look into the Federal Reserve and what it's done and how it's supposed to operate, it's actually a conglomeration of all the union banks or central banks, and it's owned by the Europeans, the Rothschilds particularly. Well, not only do we have that lie, but we have a positional truth in our churches. I'm going to give a couple examples of that as well. We have the Catholic Church, which is probably one of the biggest lies that's ever been told. People say it was the first church. That actually is a lie from hell. The first church was a Christian church established at Pentecost. In the book of Acts, you can tell that. The Catholic Church really didn't get started until the 6th century. There was a movement and some workings of it for power, positional land, and money that saw the creation of it, but it took a good 500 years before it actually got some roots. Everything about the Catholic Church has been added. It didn't come out believing all of it at the same time. For instance, the assumption of Mary didn't happen until the 14th century. We didn't have purgatory until the 11th century. We didn't have the baptism as it is now. From 1311, the Catholic Church moved it from immersion to pouring. It's a matter of convenience. Actually, the Catholics were very truthful about that. They only did it because they didn't like the way God had it set up, so they changed it. Whereas the King James Bible, during England's day, they sprinkled, and the Bible says baptism is immersion. The word is rantizo, which is a Greek word for a sunken ship. It means it went down all the way. Baptizo is the word for sunken ship, or where a candidate is totally immersed. The Greek word for a sprinkling is rantizo. Very clearly a distinction from baptizo. It means to sprinkle, like you would laundry, ironing it years ago, or you wouldn't dye clothes by sprinkling it. You'd have to immerse it completely. But the Church of England was sprinkling. So when they translated the King James Bible in 1600s, they actually had to transliterate the word baptism was beta from Greek, alpha, made it an A, rho, they made it a, pi, they made it a P, and the T and the I and the S and the M, they made it, transliterated it. They took the Greek letter to the English letter, the Greek letter to the English letter. So now whenever they, when that word appears, it means whatever you want it to be. The Methodist Church, they would sprinkle Nazarene Church, or dry cleaners, they'll sprinkle or do whatever you want, but generally you don't have to do anything. The Baptists, they do immersion. The Presbyterians, they sprinkle, and the Catholic pours. The word for pours, clo, in the Greek term, where they pour a little water on your head. That's not the Greek word, but they didn't care what the Bible said. They just changed it for themselves. And because it was in the King James Bible, which most people thought that was, you know, Jesus and Paul spoke that language. The interesting thing is that that's a lie too. The first church was made up of 15 countries, all of different languages, and you would think, well, if the King James is so important, how can we expect the French people to look into that? No, they have their own Bible. Well, so it's not real. Or the Spanish, so it's not real because it's not a King James. That whole ploy, that whole argument is full of beans, and there's so much problems with the King James. And now, granted, it has done a lot of good to a lot of churches. That's all they use. But it wasn't the first English translation. That's a mistake people make. It wasn't the first Bible that came to America. That's also a mistake most people use. I have a copy. Well, I guess a copy. It's not an original for sure of the first Bible that came to America, and it's kind of prejudiced against the Catholic Church. So the King James was written, and in 1950, the American government sanctioned the King James Bible. They authorized it in 1950. 1950, I thought King James authorized it. No, he didn't authorize it. He allowed it to be spoken in churches, but King James had four criterias in order for the King James Bible to be authorized by him. And they met three of them. They did not meet the fourth criteria, so King James never authorized the King James Bible. I know that's surprising to most of you, but all those King James Bible thumpers, it's a lie. And they just perpetrate it because they think it has to be that way. Well, it's called a positional truth. They have their way of doing things. It's their position. A Catholic always was a Catholic. His family was Catholic, and their family before them were Catholics, and so that's the position they hold. They don't care what the Bible says, but that's what the church says, so that's good enough for them. And truth is certainly butchered on the block of convenience and position. The Mormons, the same way, they have their doctrines that are not biblical. Jesus is not Satan's brother, as they would say. When they die, they do not get their own world, their own planet. They do not do that. God was not Adam, who had was given this planet. They just butchered the entire truth of Scripture. Cults themselves, there's Jehovah's Witnesses, there's Seventh-day Adventists, there's Mary Baker Eddy, in her views, all different kinds of cults have added a personal touch to their teaching, and it's called a positional truth. Denominations have done that. They have various views on subjects. The text is very clear, but they interpret that different ways. It's called the positional truth. If you're a Methodist, you will see things by a Methodist teaching. If you are a Baptist, you will always see things by a Baptist teaching. Those are positional truths. The first church was established at Pentecost, and you have to go back to the book of Acts if you want to know what God had in mind when he made the church. Otherwise, the rest of it has been man-made, or man has taken over the power of the Word of God. There's also the a convenient truth, or expedient truth. This is when it's better to lie, so you're not in trouble by the parents, so the kids learn that early. People at work, they lie, so if they do a mistake, they lie about it, so they don't get fired. Those are called convenient truths, but it's not truths. It's an accommodating a sin, and we have a lot of things going on in accommodating sins. Let me give you a couple examples in our culture, and this is a serious part of our culture that I wish that everybody would understand. It's not biblical, it's not true, and God's wrath is against it. The LGBTQ, now I didn't know what the Q was until a few months ago. I asked somebody, what's a Q? And a Q means they aren't sure. I thought it meant queer, but that'd be true of all of them. But no, it was questioning what they are. There's lesbians, gay, bi, and what you talking about, bisexual. How confusing is that? And transgender, that means I was born a man, a male baby, and I decided that when I grew up, I was going to be a woman. Now, that has a great deal of problems with that. Today, our world has seen that LGBT as a power struggle, wanting serious concessions of laws. They've changed laws to protect them. They have they've made major. In fact, I was watching one day on YouTube, and it showed I think it was 40 some Hollywood actors and actors that's been in film who were gay or lesbians, and I didn't realize that because I saw some of those films and I didn't know the actors were gay or lesbian, but they revealed them with their boyfriends or girlfriends, and they were shown to be absolutely part of the LGBT movement. It's a fad that is caught on in the name of their sexual freedom. They first started out by abortions. I wish they all were aborted, but I'm sorry, no, I don't. But the abortions war was going on for the longest time. We were killing millions of babies a year in our country. And matter of fact, 5 years ago, we had killed more babies than our current population over the course of the years. But now it's switched to LGBT, holding Pride months and dressing up in odd ways or showing nudity. Even I was surprised in Big Bang Theory that number one, are they shacking up with others, but Sheldon is literally a gay person, and he makes no bones about that in interviews. It doesn't come out so much in the Big Bang Theory, but the Big Bang itself is a slam against the creation of our universe that God has made. And so the perspective is already clear of which way they're going to go. If you take away God's significance of having created everything then you can make up everything itself under your own pleasure. So there's non-binary, which means we can't talk about he or she. It has to be they or them. That's ridiculous. They don't want any gender identification in terms. That is absolutely wrong. They tried to make God a woman by creating a Bible that had she in that instead of him or he. And now they are trying to be totally non-binary, which means they're nothing. They're they. The pronoun issue has come up on many different occasions, and it has led a lot of people down the wrong road. Hollywood is responsible for that, but overall, I want to say the church is responsible for allowing it. But Hollywood is a powerful tool. And people are living together instead of marriage. I found out that Oprah Winfrey, I thought for a minute she may be a lesbian, but she's not. She's been living with this guy for a long time, and they were going to get married, but it turned out not to get married. And so they're not married. They're just shacking up. She's not the only one. You can go to most churches today, and you can, if you honestly knew people in that, they're not married. They're just, they call themselves boyfriend and girlfriend, but they've been living together for several years. That's a disgrace that the preacher preaching a message doesn't deal with that and expose what sin is. Now you say, oh, we don't do that, John, because if we do that, people won't come back, and we need to have a larger crowd to pay our budget. We got this big building going on. We got this TV ministry going on. We cannot lose our people. So let's just throw the word out and have Joel Olstein's little pablum milk given to you and make you feel good about things. And that has become one of the biggest problems in our churches today, especially the largest churches. Now, I grew up in a small country church, and that issue had never been part of it. But again, that's back a few years ago. But I know that small country churches today are not on the living edge of all this crap that's going on worldwide. They're probably just doing the same thing that they've done for years, unaware of the world's condition. That's like a proverbial ostrich with his head in the sand, which honestly they don't do that. They run around instead. But the LGBT has gone a bit further than just dressing girls to girls and boys to boys. They they dress boys as girls and they dress girls as boys, trying to get that done in school. And it's been done in kindergarten for several years now in America, that some of the larger school systems, especially in California or New York, they have boys and girls cross-dressing so they can get the feel of how the others experience it. My word, what a crock. There is no way that that makes sense, just not. Or the sports where men are allowed to run or compete in women's sports. After all, you know, men are equal to women, they say, and women are equal to men, they say. But however, the sports affair, the man who is obviously a man, he usually wins the game because he's stronger and more powerful than the women in his competition. So he always wins. It's not even fair. It's ridiculous to assume that. Where our school systems and other places say the bathrooms are neutral now, they don't have a man or woman on the door, it's the bathroom. And guys can go in the girls' bathroom and the girls in the boys' bathroom. That's true in some school systems. That's true in some entertaining systems. It's wrong. It's wrong. And they have this identity crisis of who I am, and I don't know for sure who I am, so I'm just going to be whatever everybody else is. If I have to go to the bathroom, I'll just go in this one. And you have girls in there, and a man walks in there. I would be appalled if the parents allowed a guy to enter their little girl's bathroom. And it's just, to me, it's wrong. Just absolutely wrong on every level. So there is a great problem that exists in this convenient, expedient truth that seems to be so prevalent today. Finally, we have what's called, oh, and I have one more, the Word of Faith, which is a large movement in the church, prosperity gospel preaching. You just say it and you'll get it. That's a multi-billion dollar operation, TBN and so forth, which is just filled with lies and false teachers. It is probably one of the greatest, well-known at least, TV station or TV programs in today's world. There's Inspiration Network, there's others, but TBN is probably more common. But if you've ever listened to the teachers and preachers on TBN, they have replaced the Word of God with their own ideas. They make this world drive to have more money, to have more fame, to have health, more significant than the scriptures ever looked at. And if you desire that more than going to heaven, my friends, you'll not go to heaven. You only have what you get. But God is not endorsing the Word of Faith movement. It is just one convenient truth for a bunch of people who claim to be preachers to get wealthy. They are liars. They rip scripture out of its context, and they deceive thousands of people. How come it's a billion-dollar or a greater billion-dollar operation? Because the average person is ignorant of scriptures. They are biblically illiterate. They don't read the Bible. They read what these people print and make money on. And gosh, it is just confusing and amazing that they get by with it. But there's so many people that go along with it that it has really blown out of proportion in the last 30 years. Finally, we have the ultimate truth, the absolute truth, the truth of Jesus. And so when Pilate said to Jesus, "What is truth?" It's because as he was in that position to hear all different kinds of arguments, all different kinds of philosophies, different kinds of lifestyles, and there's no one that could actually stand up and say this is actually the truth. Everybody agreed with everybody else having their own opinion. It was a matter of just getting along. And so Pilate questioned if the truth could ever be known. Well, Jesus, of course, is the truth, the way, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. When people said that everybody's going to heaven, that's a lie from hell, because they're not. I don't care if they go to these churches. I don't care if they are in their convenient path, that they live together and go to church too. They don't matter. It's living in sin. And that obvious gesture of inconsistency to the faith and their behavior is well known. And they will not make it to heaven by that lifestyle. The book of Romans, chapter 1, if you read that, you'll find out that all this, the sexual infidelity and the sexual binary and this bi and gay and lesbian, transgender, what a mess that is. But the book of Romans says that it is abominable to God, and he will give them up. He will not allow them into heaven. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 6 says people who do these things will not go to heaven. It is that clear. Now, that sounds like hate speech. No, it's not. I want people who are of the GBT movement or whatever that thing's called, I'd like for them to be saved. But if they're going to be saved, they got to change their ways and give up that sin. You say, well, I was born this way. Oh, bull roarer. You weren't born that way. It's same as a crook saying, oh, I got caught stealing $100,000. Well, I was born that way, so you can't persecute me. That's the way I was made. God made me this way. That's what the GLBT people say. I was born this way. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. Oftentimes, especially in Colorado, in California and New York and a few other places of very strong liberal positions, be what you want to be. Don't worry about anybody else. Just do your own thing. And that's what we're getting into. That's what the world is leading to. But this idea of puberty blockers that parents would give their children. Here's a couple gay people who are living together and they want to adopt a kid, but they give the kid puberty blockers so he doesn't or she doesn't develop into an antithesis of their supposed parents. And that is just immoral. Or they will subject their children to surgery. You talk about confusing people. You know, they're born to think a certain way and act a certain way, and you change their physical appearance by surgery into the other gender, and it is a confusing dilemma for each child to have gone through that. Well, God speaks very strongly about this, and let me just read a couple passages of Scripture to you. Of course, I mentioned the Romans passage. That is a very significant passage. But Matthew 18, verse 6. Now, this has a strong condemnation against those parents that have abused their children in this fashion of changing their sex. Let me read that to you. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him never to have been born, to have a millstone tied around his neck and drown in the deep depths of the sea. This is very significant. God is saying those little children are innocent. They are purely innocent. They're naive, and they've been given to you as parents to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And here you are, a pagan yourself. You don't believe in God. And you're a lesbian, you're gay, and you want this children to be like you. So you impose your thoughts onto them, leading them astray. How worse can you be as an adult to take a little child and turn him into a monster such as yourself? This is something that God takes very seriously, and he's not going to put up with that forever. And if you recall Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament, where God found out how bad it was and they destroyed them. I think there is a time coming in America, and it might be sooner than most of you think. It might even happen financially, as we're on the brink of a crash here. We're on a brink of going a third world. I know you don't believe that, But you don't know that situation of the world and finances. The Jekyll Island creature has created such a damnable and hostile monster that can allow us to be free in our country. The world right now is tied up with American dollar, the hegemony of American dollar, what came after World War II, when we had a agreement with Saudi Arabia that they'll always buy, they'll always sell their oil in dollars, which put our the dollars as a reserve currency around the world. Well, Russia and China have challenged that in the last couple of years. They are starting a new program of money, reserve currency. The BRICS nations, which is BRICS, B-R-I-C-S, stands for Brazil, Russia, China, South America. These are the original groups of the BRICS nation. Now Saudi Arabia has joined it. Now 3 quarters of the world have joined the BRICS nation, and they're pinning their money on to their commodities, and gold and silver have become the standard apart from the American dollar. So if the American dollar is, if the world finally wakes up to this and the BRICS nations capitalize on this as they threaten to do, and by the way, I mean, when I say they threaten to do it, it's not an idle threat. It's going to happen. It's going to happen within the next probably 2 years, maybe soon, maybe much sooner. It will absolutely sink our economy because all those dollars will be coming back home to exchange for gold or silver, and we just don't have it. It's going to cause a problem. That's why the Federal Reserve, that monster again, the Federal Reserve is planning on having printed a digital currency so that they can, the government will control, or the Federal Reserve will control every dime you get and every dime you spend. They'll know how you spend it. Dollars won't be worth anything. It won't even be as good for toilet paper. And they are going to get rid of all this. It'll be the demise of the American economy. Companies that are dealing with the stock market, they'll go more broke than the Great Depression. People who hold dollars in their bank, already the banks are involved in bail-ins, which means a bailout is when the banks bail out somebody. The Federal Reserve gave money, taxpayer money, to bail out banks that were too big to fail. No, they were in a position to fail. You should have just let them. But all, consider, John, the repercussions of a bank failing. Yes, I understand that. But when you pump it up with dollars, it's artificially grounded, and now we're finding it, the dollars are going to come back to us. You talk about inflation, we're going to have huge inflation. Well, I just see my time is up. I'm not even done with this subject yet, but there are many deceitful things happening in our country, and oftentimes the church is responsible for that. My friends, I thank you for listening. I hope you understand the Bible is God's word, and it will tell us how to get out of this. It will tell us how to go to heaven. It will free us up from all the... and the problems of all the cultural issues. If you don't know Jesus, then I'm sorry, you're lost. That's how clear it is. I want you to know Jesus. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.